Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Everything's rising, isn't it? Pretty much resources, are they? Everything, are they?
I haven't seen the sector as popular as this for many, many years. There's a lot of new interest in the space. I mean, driven by a number of factors. Stimulus money and stimulus projects starting to happen, particularly in China. And of course, the $1.9 trillion being pledged by the Joe Biden administration. Some dollar weakness, which always helps metals go higher. And of course, the huge change in global manufacturing towards electric vehicles and everything else that needs to go to support those electric vehicles, the wind farms for the green electricity to drive those electric vehicles, the solar panels and everything else to cable everything up.
Yeah. I keep saying it over again, but I just think many people who've just started investing will not see a trend like this ever in their lives. I mean, there was a trend back in the 90s, dot-com, where people realised the internet was going to be very significant, but there was a lot of pop and drop there, a bubble formed. It's very similar with this, I think. You know, we're talking about things that are major trends. You know, I go back as far as electricity, the original, you know, internal combustion engine, these kind of revolutionary changes. And now we're seeing EV, you know, most governments in the world are switching to EV. And so, of course, everything in this area, in this sector, is going to rise, isn't it? We're starting to see. And I think this could, you know, when people get worried about bubbles or arises, and thing is, I think it can go on for a lot longer than we realise, you know, these sustained rises. Because, of course, we need it. I mean, I just saw a report out. EV sales are growing very quickly, but they're still, you know, under 5% of the entire market. So if you understand that, it's 95% to go yet. We haven't started, have we, really?
No, you're right. We haven't started. There's 174 mega factories. Okay, they're not all gigafactories, but 174 of these factories, they are all increasing their production of batteries for electric vehicles. Not something like 90% of those batteries are lithium iron, nickel, cobalt, manganese batteries. Okay, there's different types of, so we say, sub chemistries within those, but they all use nickel, they all use tin, they all use cobalt, manganese, and there's clearly lots of copper in these vehicles as well. There's so much pull from these factories now in terms of material, lithium, graphite, just everything that's required. And frankly, the industry doesn't know where it's all going to come from.
Yeah. Well, we're pre-chatting. We always talk about companies with maybe news out to, or just discussing, you know, companies. So first of all, I saw an RNS yesterday, and I'm always a bit worried when I see RNSs that are quite descriptive or quite sort of bullish, overly so. And I saw one from Iron Ridge Resources, and they said exceptional scoping study results. And I thought, are they being a bit over the top? A bit, you know, are they talking up this stock a bit? What's the thoughts, John? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we're always very wary about companies that use terminology like that.
Yeah.
And so we discourage it. And in fact, we talked to the the qualified executives who are the nomads that police these companies. And we police about 40% of the junior mining sector, so we do a lot of this. But in this case, they are justified in the word exceptional because the scoping study figures on the lithium project in Ghana are very, very good. I mean, the costs are really quite low. Margins are calculated to be very high. Remember, it is a scoping study. This is not quite as much detail in here as a pre-feasibility or a bankable feasibility study, but we think they are pretty good numbers. Certainly there's an NPV here of 334 million. In fact there are higher NPV estimates if you look at the pre-tax numbers, which is probably more like what the company will eventually be valued at if they build this project. We know that prices are very low for spodumene concentrates at the moment, and in fact they've used a slightly higher price, but I think they're justified in that because prices for spodumene concentrates were somewhat greater than this a couple of years ago. So we know that there is good interest and strong demand out of the Chinese, because the Chinese do all the processing for lithium out of spodumene these days. We think the Europeans are going to build at least one or probably two lithium refineries. You notice that Galp, which is a big Portuguese oil refiner, have bought into Savannah Resources recently. That's very interesting because we think that Galp will eventually convert or build a new lithium refinery in Portugal, and we think that will help to feed Volkswagen and Mercedes and the other companies that are all converting to produce electric vehicles going forwards. And we know there are various EU rules that say that a certain amount of content has to come from within the European Union. And it may well be, not many people know that Ghana has a specific accord with the EU, which means that it will be able to export lithium or export spodumene into the European Union, I think tariff-free, and in fact with preferential treatment. So from an EU perspective, when it comes to this sort of stuff, I think Ghana is virtually considered to be within the EU. So that will be very helpful for a project like this. I suspect the Chinese will be bidding to get hold of the material. They'll probably be offering to pay the capex as well. We've got the situation with Kodal Minerals, where a very large Chinese company is currently undergoing studies on their Bugimi lithium projects at the moment. So we expect the Chinese, who've already bought into Kodal Minerals to quite a large degree on an equity perspective, there's a very good chance that they will want to take that project forwards. And we've had an offer from another group who are also quite likely to find some money and shall we say potential other joint venture partners to come in here. So there's a lot happening with these lithium companies right now, and it's a pretty interesting place to be.
Yeah, so I'm quite interested in that, because the use of adjectives in RNS titles, you know, it can be quite biased, of course, you know, and mislead. But you're saying that it's justified when you police these kind of things, because exceptional, of course, means much greater than usual, especially its skill, intelligence, quality, etc. So this is much greater of quality, is it, than you would get normally? Is that the case? So that these results are, for a scoping study, very good, better than
we double check these things, and we can't tell the company not to use the term exceptional, because actually I think they are justified in using that terminology.
Okay,
we are very careful when many companies want to use the term world class, and you know, if they want to use that term, they have to be able to justify that properly. I mean, yeah. You know, a mining entrepreneur who I won't name, who runs Jubilee Platinum, or used to run Jubilee Platinum, now Jubilee Metals, and recently had a discovery hole with Extract. He's quite prone to using the term world class of just a single drill hole, and we simply won't allow it unless it is a truly world class discovery.
Yeah.
For example, Solgold had a world class discovery in a drill hole at the Alpala project on Cascabel in Ecuador some years ago, and of course they now have BHP and Newcrest as partners, and a very large copper project that hopefully will go into production in the next.
And when you say world class, does that mean what, in the top percentile of discoveries, and what level is that? Is it top 10%, top 5%? What is? How do you, you know, because it's very, the definitions themselves have to be sort of, don't they, you know, measured in some way, standardized. So what is world class? How do you define that?
There is no hard and fast definition, but it's something that you need to justify within the industry, because if you say that something's world class and it isn't, the industry will shoot you down very, very fast. Indeed.
And also, and in future, then people are not going to trust you, are they? I mean, you know, if you came out with these overblown hyperboles, you know, the statements, the big shouting statements, and then you don't live up to them, then it's a measure of yourself, isn't it? The management, you can't be trusted, essentially, you know.
But that's absolutely correct, but. When you produce a study and you've got a post-tax IRR of 125%, I think that justifies the use of the word exceptional. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's good to know. That's Iron Ridge Resources, good stuff. Okay, we were talking pre as well. I mean, a lot of resource stocks are rallying, and we were talking then about strategic minerals. So it's rallying today. They're up 10%, but generally you can put a ruler under their share price, because it's flatlining for a while now. What's your thoughts there, John? Because they're involved in tin, aren't they, and some battery metals and a bit of copper there.
Well, they are, but they've been relatively quiet in terms of, they've been going through that awkward period where they've been working on projects in the background, and those projects haven't had a lot of, shall we say, spectacular news to put to the market. So they get cash in from their Cobra magnetite project in New Mexico in the USA. That should give them about £500,000 worth of free cash in the year. It helps to pay it, that pays for all the corporate costs, and then gives them extra cash to go around and do other drilling and other work. They're developing their Lee Creek copper project in Australia, and they're in that awkward phase where they're just waiting for, well, they're submitting environmental type information to the authorities, and they will then expect to get a permit for that Lee Creek project probably in the second quarter this year. And then we would expect them to start producing copper out of that project towards the end of the year, probably in the fourth quarter, because it'll take a quarter to get things up and running and for the copper to start coming out of the heap leaches. So next year we would expect to see them produce something like 2,500 tons of copper. And then they've got another part of that project that's going to come into production. So we're not quite sure what the production scale is going to be there yet, but hopefully that by 2023 they'll be up to 5,000 tons a year, which will be, again, produce very nice cash flow. And we would expect to see that cash flow being ploughed into the Redmore project in Cornwall, which is a tin, copper, tungsten project. Be nice to see them drilling some more high-grade tin there, because tin, of course, the tin price is at a seven-year high today. It's up at $22,000 a ton. And mining tin at $22,000 a ton is preferable to mining copper at $8,500 a ton, although both metals are extremely popular. So we're hopeful that Redmore will become a decent quality tin, copper, tungsten mine going forwards.
Okay. And they're only, well, of course, 10 million market cap, around about that level. So, you know.
We're currently going through the roadshow, or about to go through the roadshow, for Cornish Metals, which is listing on the London AIM market in the next few weeks. And there's a great deal of interest in that at the moment, because the tin price is high, but because investors are interested in anything that connects them to the growth in the electric vehicle market.
Cornish Metals. Okay, keep an eye out for that. When is it listing? Next couple of weeks, is it?
Next few weeks.
Okay, cool. One other thing, just talking about gold. Let's go into gold a sec with Anglo-Asian, AAZ. What's happening there, John?
Well, extraordinary news from them today. They've had a number of licenses restored to them in what's called the disputed territories, which I can never pronounce, Nagorno-Karabakh. I think I got close to it there. So those areas have been disputed for many, many years when Armenia invaded Azerbaijan and then refused to give the land back. And Azerbaijan quite rightly, were, you know, didn't want to get involved in too much of a conflict. So recently, the Azeris have pushed the Armenians back, and they've restored these projects to Anglo-Asian Mining. And there's some quite decent-sized projects with very high-grade copper and gold. And that's, well, the fact that those projects are back in the Anglo-Asian portfolio is very good news indeed. And I think that this builds on another discovery that Anglo-Asian made right next to their Gedabek gold mine in Azerbaijan, near the town of Ganja. They discovered a new deposit there, which looks really rather nice. So I think there was a little bit of there must be a certain amount of interest or new interest in the company, and I think this will do very really well.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff. And they've done very well. One of the outstanding performers of their last few years, Anglo-Asian. So their share price, they've gone from, in fact, they've topped out a little bit recently, haven't they? But they've consolidated for a long time, sold off in the March, in the dash for cash back in March. But they've been a 10 bagger from, 20 pence, less than that. Was it? Look at down there. It was 3 pence there. In 2015, they were 7 pence, the 160. Top dead there. Double top. Wow, look at that double top at in the chart at September 19 and July. They double topped and came back down, but they're consolidating a bit now, aren't they?
Well, this is a company that's worked very hard over many years to overcome all sorts of issues that they've had with metallurgy and the deposit they've been working on. And of course, they had to do that when metals prices were low. There's nothing these guys can't achieve, frankly, because they have a fantastic team in place. I'm not worried about the metallurgy of the new deposit because they've got four separate processing lines at Gedabek. They can process anything in almost any form. So without getting into the technicalities of it all, it's a great company and it knows how to maximize the value of the resources that it has, and the fact that it's now got access to, shall we say, some good quality assets in the disputed territories, I think is great news for them. And it's, you know, they've been very patient and they've not said anything about these deposits for years and years and years. I flew into this region back in, I think, 2005, where the locals were extremely friendly and very keen to see developments happen in the area. And it's good to see the projects back in the fold.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.